Secrets can lead to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding can cause fear. Everyone knows what fear can do. We are here to learn and shine the bright light of truth on these stories. You will know why Show Me Scares.
Hello.
Hey there.
I'm Shayla.
And I'm Terry.
Welcome to Show Me Scares. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
It's been a very wet weekend here in Missouri. It's rained nonstop. Mm-hmm. I hate it. I mean, I'd rather have it rain than the snow we just had a couple weeks ago.
That is true. That's very true. So tonight we have a story that's kind of, it's terrible, but...
It's murder week, right?
Yeah. So they're all terrible.
Yeah, pretty much.
But no, this one... It's kind of hard to get through, but it also kind of seems like, because we've not done cases that were like good old fashioned Show Me Scares over the last few weeks. So
you dug into one.
Yeah, I got to dig into one, and I like it. It's very twisted and demented, and it has quite an interesting ending. So. Yeah.
Sounds pretty good.
Let's get right into it, then we'll discuss once we get through that.
All right, let's go.
John McLaughlin. He lived with his wife and children, at least five. There were more than five, but I couldn't find out how many. In Andrew County, northwest of Flag Springs.
I don't know where that's at.
This is like northwest corner of Missouri.
Oh.
Way up there. On the morning of August 3rd, the first.
Wow.
1884. He and his wife and several of the children left to visit the family of George Elrod. Two daughters, Austie, 9 years old, and Adela, 7 years old, stayed behind with plans to visit the children of Thomas Bateman at their home a little more than a mile from their own. The girls would walk to the Bateman home and then walk back to their home after the visit.
Okay. Just young children, right?
7 and 9, I know.
Okay. But whatever.
Yeah. When the family returned home in late afternoon, the girls had not returned home yet. They should have been home before the rest of the family, and the McLaughlins became worried. John went to the Bateman home and learned that the girls had left there at around 2:30 p.m. to return home.
Oh.
The Knappenberger family that lived along the route that the girls traveled reported they had seen the girls pass by their home around 3 p.m. After that point, no one had seen them and they had never made it home. Neighbors all came out to help search for the girls. They called off the search around midnight and resumed early the next morning. At about 9 a.m., the bodies of Austie and Adela were found in a cornfield belonging to Dr. Lockett, just a quarter mile from where they were last seen by the Knappenberger family.
Oh, no.
Yeah. 9-year-old Austie was lying on her back with a bullet wound in her temple.
Gosh.
Her body had been carved up and disemboweled.
What? Sick.
Yeah. Her face was also badly bruised. 7-year-old Adela was found 100 yards away with her throat cut ear to ear, and a long gash was made on her right side. She was nearer to the road, and it appeared that she had fled as her sister was attacked but was overtaken by her assailant. The little bodies were handed over to the prosecuting attorney and acting coroner, Charlie Booher.
That's a name.
That is a name. A coroner's jury was convened, and their suspicions soon fell on 16-year-old Newton Bateman, who lived in the home the girls had visited that day. 22-year-old Harry Knappenberger said he had seen the girls pass by his place around 3 p.m., and he set out along the road a short time after. Newton Bateman quickly caught up to him, and they walked together until they came to a bend in the road, and Newton took another route, saying he was going to visit his uncle. Knappenberger continued to Flag Springs. So he's seen in the vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
Newton was detained and questioned, but quickly released the same day after telling investigators that he didn't even own a gun. Because that's not what the murderer would do. The investigation still remained focused on the Bateman family. Elizabeth Newton's 18-year-old sister was unable to provide a solid alibi for him, but she did say that their older brother, Oliver, 22, was at home all afternoon. There was more evidence stacking up against young Newton as the investigation continued. Two young girls from the same neighborhood came forward with a story about Newton trying to lure them into that very cornfield where the murders took place.
Uh-oh.
Another witness said that he had just recently sold Newton a pistol. Other witnesses stated that they knew of at least two revolvers owned by the Bateman family.
Not looking good for old Newton.
No. Boer decided to do a little more digging at the Bateman home. As he approached, he noticed Mary Bateman, the mother of the clan, run out the back of the house to the shed and conceal something under a box. He followed her into the shed and found that she had attempted to hide a box of cartridges. Boer grilled Mary and demanded she hand over the two guns the family owned, and she gave up one immediately. After more pressing, she finally gave in and led him behind the house to a cherry tree under which she dug up a double barrel pistol. One barrel matched the .32 caliber bullet that had been found in the head of Austie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, a double barrel pistol?
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure.
It's very interesting. Well, the fact that they said one barrel matched the .32 caliber bullet.
What's the other barrel?
Actually, it's very interesting. And I looked this up because, I mean, we've been around guns our whole lives. But I can't claim to know anything about them, really, like, historically. But this was kind of like an over-under situation. And one barrel is a .32 caliber and the other barrel is a .22 caliber.
That's crazy. I like to see one of those.
Me too, but the one that I looked up and found that was, I mean, I didn't believe it until I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting looking.
Huh, that's cool.
The little McLaughlin girls were buried at Flag Springs Baptist Church Cemetery on September 2nd with hundreds in attendance. Mm-hmm. Those in attendance pledged $150 for monuments for the graves of the little girls.
I mean, that's a lot back then.
Mm-hmm. That's sweet, too.
It's too sweet.
Boer now had to figure out if Newton had continued on to his uncle's, as he said, or if he turned into the cornfield and found the girls. Did Harry Knappenberger have anything to do with the killings?
Mm-hmm.
Were the girls killed before or after he met Newton on the road? Or could the older Oliver have snuck from the Bateman home, cut through the pastures unseen to kill the girls without Newton or Harry ever knowing he was there?
They have a lot of investigating to do.
Yeah. Newton was rearrested and Oliver was brought along too. Upon closer inspection of the crime scene, a boot print had been discovered that perfectly matched Oliver's boots.
Oh, Oliver.
Yeah. Well, you may remember that the neighbors all came out to help. So would it have been really odd for Oliver's boot print to be there?
That's true. I never thought of that.
Well, it actually played. Is very odd because Oliver did not help search for the girls because he was at home in bed sick. So he had no reason to have been there.
So his boot print shouldn't have been there.
Yes. The coroner's jury could not agree on what could have happened. Even with what circumstantial evidence there was, they still couldn't believe that someone from their neighborhood could have committed such a terrible crime. They wanted to believe that it was someone passing through and that they had the wrong guy in custody.
Mm-hmm. Especially to little girls like that.
Yes. Their verdict was that the girls had come to their death at the hands of party or parties unknown. Undeterred, Boer remained laser focused on the Batemans. Another search of the house uncovered a shirt with a bloodstain. With this discovery, Elizabeth also recanted her story of Oliver being home all afternoon. It was his shirt. She now said he had left around 2 p.m. and did not return until around 5 p.m. Oliver was arrested at the Bateman home where he had remained in bed sick for several days.
And he's the older brother, right?
22.
Okay.
He was taken to the Andrew County Jail in Savannah, still protesting his innocence. On Monday, September 8th, the body of Austie Laughlin, the 9-year-old, was exhumed for further examination. They discovered a second bullet wound that had been mistaken as an abrasion.
Oh, crap.
Well, with the way that her body was cut up.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
It does. They recovered from this wound a .22 caliber bullet, which matched the second barrel of the pistol located behind the Bateman home. Boer and John Lincoln, sheriff of Andrew County, presented this additional evidence to Oliver. When faced with all of this, Oliver Bateman broke down and made a full confession.
Wow.
Well, he may have made two confessions. Either that or the newspapers just printed a whole bunch of crap two different ways. There were at least two versions printed that you can kind of pull out of all of it. Bateman told investigators that he got some liquor from some stranger and started drinking on that Sunday.
No wonder why he was sick.
He left his house about 15 minutes after the little girls. He had no intention on hurting them, as he had no ill feelings for them, and he even considered them friends. He was 22 and they were 7 and 9. They were not his friends. Let's just put that out there. He saw them go off their path and he followed them to see where they were going. Still, he had no intent on harming them. He found them in the cornfield where they had stopped to gather hazelnuts.
Oh,
I know. How just precious is that? He talked with them, luring them deeper into the field. He then made some sexual proposals to the older girl, at which she told him to F off and started for the road. Come on, sis. We're out of here.
Let's leave this loser.
Mm-hmm. Bateman said the rejection made him angry and he decided to kill the little girl.
Good grief.
He shot her first in the body with a .22 caliber, and when she turned to face him, he shot her in the head with a .32. He noticed Adela running toward the road and he caught up with her, but she begged him not to hurt her, so he let her go. She ran away screaming and he knew that she would tell, so he caught her again and slit her throat.
Wow.
He then returned to Austie's body and ravaged it, disemboweling her to make it appear the murder had been committed by a madman.
Yeah, it was.
He moved the body of Adela further into the weeds and noticed Harry Knappenberger coming along the road. He waited for him to pass before making his way across the road through a pasture into a creek. He washed the blood from his hands, threw the knife in the creek, and then returned home to wash his shirt and lay it out to dry. He said the whiskey he drank must have made him kill the girls. He said he didn't want to live, and for what he had done, he didn't deserve to.
No, he don't.
He was ready to die, and the sooner the better. In the other version, the timeline's a little different. So the differences are basically not that big, actually. So there was no mention of the lewd remarks,
mm-hmm.
and no motive offered. Most people in the community, he also, in the other one, said he killed the girls after Harry passed by rather than before. So it's just like little differences that I don't know if you can read anything into that. But most people in the community thought Oliver had made up the part about drinking to alleviate the guilt. There was another interesting inconsistency in his story. In the confession, he said that he threw the knife in the creek. But he wrote to a friend from jail that he hid it in the kitchen loft at the Bateman family home. Investigators found the knife in that very spot, so he didn't get rid of the knife. Mm-hmm. On Thursday, October 2nd, a grand jury handed down two indictments of murder against Oliver Bateman, who refused the offer of an attorney. Wow. He said he was ready to die and just wanted to get on with it. Bateman was given the weekend to study the charges and to think about his plea of guilty. On Monday, October 6th, Judge Kelly called the court to order as a large crowd gathered. Of course, they were threatening mob violence because that's what they did then. And they wanted to make sure he was going to follow through and plead guilty.
For real.
And he did. So they didn't have to do anything. Judge Kelly sentenced him to hang on November 21st, 1884, between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. The only thing Oliver had to say was that he was disappointed that they could not hang him that day, and then he would have to wait a month and a half.
Golly.
He just keeps saying that over and over again. I just want to die now. Why do we have to keep doing this?
I wonder if he felt guilt.
He seems to.
He don't want to think about it any longer.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Leading up to the execution, Oliver was visited by several people, including spiritual advisors, and reporters came from all over the country to speak with him about what he did. And he talked to a ton of them.
Mm-hmm.
He was not alone in that month and a half. He was waiting to be executed. On November 20th, he took up religion.
It's a little late now.
He was visited by three spiritual advisors. And though he took up religion and was, let's say, repenting, he would not say why he had done what he had done.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't say it. Whiskey, I guess. There was no real motive. People were just like, why, dude?
Nobody
could understand, because he had a spotless reputation. He was known as a good guy. And so to have done something so heinous, people couldn't understand it. Where did it come from? What set him off? The night before his execution, it is reported that he slept soundly. He awoke that morning in a cheerful mood and ate a big breakfast.
What?
He was happy because it was the day he was going to get to die.
Wow.
He's definitely interesting dude. I don't know.
Is he protecting someone or something?
I think it kind of feels like it. Yeah, I think he did it. But I think he said that he threw the knife in the creek and it was actually at his house. And that's where I think he was protecting. Somebody knew that knife was in the house.
Mm-hmm.
He came home. Who knows? Maybe
his family covered
him up
for sure. Yeah.
But see, I didn't tell you this, but when Newton was arrested first, and he was like 16 years old. When he was arrested first, his father came out and said, hey, if he did it, hang him. He deserves every bit of it.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
And then they buried the gun and stuff for this kid.
Well, mom did.
That's true.
That's a totally different story.
That's true.
So I don't know if dad had any part in that. I don't know. I don't know what that was about. Like, if he was, like, the favorite that was they were taken mm-hmm. care of. But it does seem like he told them, I hid the knife in the creek so that he wouldn't have to say, and then I came home and then I had to tell everybody what I did. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So I don't know who was at the house when he got back to the house. He could have been saying, my sister saw me, or, you know. Maybe Newton was home and saw mm-hmm. him, but Newton was supposed to be at uncle's house. And I believe he probably went where he said he was,
right.
Which is scary that his little brother almost went down for this.
Mm-hmm.
And
I thought he was going to say something different.
Well, that too, like walked up on it while it was happening. Right. Yeah. But also like he could have been hanged for something he didn't do because everything was pointing to him.
That's
and
true.
At least it was pointing to a Bateman that did it. And we know that he was in the area because he admitted to it.
Mm-hmm.
So how close was he to losing his little brother?
And he did.
Yeah. And he didn't say anything until they came to him and was like, dude, I think we know you did it. If he hadn't left a boot print, we may be sitting here talking about Newton's hanging.
Right.
That's a very real possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Anyway. A reporter came to talk to him. Several reporters came to talk to him, but he sent them away. He said, I've said all I'm going to say. I've got no more to say. Just let me go and die. There was a crowd that had formed. This crowd started forming the day before.
Oh my gosh.
And they estimated there were 10,000 spectators.
What?
10,000.
In a small area like that.
That's insane. That's a lot of people. That's like six counties.
Okay.
Well, I mean.
Back then, too. I mean.
Yeah. But I guess they're probably a lot more comfortable sleeping outside than we would be now. So they just pull up the wagon and wait Pop for the back. Hanging. Oh, bizarre. So they're all there hoping they get to catch a sight of it.
Jeez.
Yeah. He was put in a carriage and driven to the scaffold that had been built on the edge of town. So apparently there was no scaffold, or at least...
They all seem to have to build them.
I know. But I mean, it is 1884. It's very early, but it's not that early. Like, I don't know.
Maybe it's the first hanging there, though.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't see. Usually that's noted, you know.
That's true.
Somebody has said something. So maybe the old one, you know, they hadn't used it in a while and they weren't sure it'd hold him or something. I don't know.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah. He hops out of the wagon and walks steadily up the stairs.
Oh, he didn't skip?
And stood on the trap door. He may have.
God.
Because he was definitely ready to die. One of the preachers said a prayer and the hood was placed on his head. The trap door was sprung at 12:55 and death called 8 minutes later.
Ugh, man.
The body was left to hang for 30 minutes before it was cut down and handed over to his father, Thomas. Thomas had remained in town rather than come and watch his son die.
Yeah, I don't think I could do that.
No. Even though, like I said, the other one, he said, kill him, it's fine.
If he did it, kill him.
He took him to be buried on the Bateman family farm. Don't you worry about, like, all the people who are buried in random places like that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't worry about it, but it's interesting to me that random places have probably got bodies underneath their foundation.
Mm-hmm. They're probably all over the place.
Oh,
really.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of them probably just aren't there anymore because they've been there so long they've completely decomposed. Mm-hmm. But it's very interesting that there's bodies all over underneath our feet. Interesting and a little weird. Okay, so he's dead. That would be where you would think the story would end.
Good story.
But this story gets so much more twisted afterward.
Like how?
You're going to be real sorry you asked that.
Oh, no.
Weeks after the hanging, a story broke in the local papers claiming to have finally figured out the motive of the murders.
Oh, no.
A very hesitant acquaintance of the Batemans had provided the details that shocked this community and every other community because this went, let's say, viral.
How does it go viral?
I'm just, you know, trying to keep up with the kids. They'll know what I'm talking about.
I mean, back then, how you go viral?
So from what I understand, they're sitting in a bar talking to this guy and somebody brings up the Bateman murders or, you know, the McLaughlin murders of then the Bateman boy. And he just kind of gets quiet. He doesn't want to talk about it. And so they find out he is an acquaintance of the Bateman family. And so they just start pushing him. Hey, why? What happened here? Like, from what we understand, this guy was, he was a good guy. And he just all of a sudden kills two little girls. What the hell happened here? And he just kept telling them he didn't want to talk about it. That it was nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to have anything to do with it. And after a lot of pressure, he finally told what he knew.
Oh, no.
And there were, from what I understand, there were actually two that had told this story separately without knowing the other one. And they did not want to be mentioned. The papers would not tell their sources. because they wanted to remain completely anonymous. So that's all interesting enough. So here we go. You remember Elizabeth Bateman, the 18-year-old daughter, mm-hmm. sister. After the murders and the execution, it was discovered that she was pregnant. Now, what on earth could that have to do with those little girls?
For real.
Well, here's the story. In June of 1884, 2 months before, according to those sources, Oliver and Elizabeth had been caught in a compromising position in the family outhouse.
Okay.
Yeah. Oliver had been carrying on an incestuous affair with his little sister. And when the McLaughlin girls came to visit that day, they were the only two home.
Oh, no.
And they were caught again by the little girls.
Wow.
Yeah. The family thought they had handled the situation when they got caught in June. They didn't. They kept doing it. I can't believe I said it that way.
Literally,
so,
though.
The little girls witnessed something that they should not have witnessed.
In so many ways.
And so Oliver knew that they were going to tell.
Oh, no.
So he followed them and killed them to keep them quiet. And his plan was to make it look like some psycho
came through
did it.
And found them in the field and killed
yes.
them.
So that nobody would ever think it
no
was him.
No wonder why he wouldn't say why he did it.
Exactly.
Wow.
But. Oh. Then Elizabeth is pregnant, and the people closest to the family said there was not a doubt in their minds that it was Oliver's baby.
What?
Yeah.
22 and 18?
Yeah. So.
Definitely no better.
No, no better. The Batemans actually sued the newspaper for mm-hmm. libel. And they won a $5,000 settlement.
Wow.
The paper appealed it to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court overturned that decision and said they don't have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that their sources have every bit of evidence that says that it's true. And they don't have to. They have this preponderance, right?
Right.
And they don't have to. They don't have to be absolutely 100% sure before they print it. They had all of the evidence that they needed that it was true.
And that's how the media is today.
So.
Holy.
I told you it took a turn.
I did not see that turn.
I know.
I thought maybe he's covering up for somebody in his family.
Yeah, no. I mean, kind of, but no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's terrible, huh?
Have you heard anything about her? Like, did she have the baby or anything like that?
I didn't see anything following, so I have no idea what happened. Wow. But, I mean, his family was a very upstanding family. So I'm sure. I mean, I don't know if they were privy to what happened and what mm-hmm. caused him to kill the girls or not. Or if that's even true. Let's be honest. It doesn't mean that it's true
that's
because
right.
people said it. But.
It just sounds like those girls were at the wrong place at the wrong time.
It does. And also, if those girls, like, this family's planning to go somewhere for the day, for the Sunday. And Sunday is, I mean, it's church day. It's family day. If you're planning something like that, do you not think that the Batemans know that the girls are coming to visit?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I would think that this has all been set up prior. And so them accidentally finding them two alone would be very unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, Newton, did he just bebop in the door after the girls left? Like, because he came from their house mm-hmm. too. So how much it could it be true? I don't know.
Right.
But
maybe the girls found them elsewhere, not in the home, though.
Like, that's true. Maybe. That could have happened too. Mm-hmm.
Like
but,
in the woods or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it is the absolutely the going thing about this case that's the reason. And people figured it out later. and that the whole community was kind of like that was something people knew and didn't talk about,
mm-hmm.
about this family.
But you had two resources that didn't even talk to each other that said,
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So that's interesting wow. too.
That's sad.
Yeah. So what do you think?
I hate the story.
Yeah, me too.
I'm glad he got hung.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, gross.
No wonder why he was ready to be like, get it over with. I did it. That was the only wrong he was in, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This whole thing just makes me like need a shower. Like it just it's gross. But I came across it and I was just going to cover it anyway because we hadn't covered like anything from Northwest Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is nearly Iowa. It's up there.
That's why I haven't heard of it.
Yeah. So I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it after I started looking at it because it was kids. I hate doing kids. But then I was like, no.
Their names got mentioned.
Right. Let's talk about these babies. And I don't know how many other children that the McLaughlins did have.
Mm-hmm.
It was more than five. The papers kept saying five, but I found other sources that showed that they had to have had more than five. But I don't know how many. I'm thinking it might have been seven.
Mm-hmm.
And they had five after the girls were gone. So... and they also said that the girls were the oldest two,
wow.
and they were not the oldest two. So, the papers were a little confused, which yeah. that always makes me so leery when I find like genealogy records that say something other than the newspapers. And I'm like, can I believe anything printed in this paper?
Right.
But, and then you see what's really great is when you're looking through a paper and you've read the story, you know the story, and you get to another paper thinking you're going to find, you know, I just dig and dig and dig in these papers. And then you get to one and it's like their names are spelled wrong, their ages are wrong. And it's like,
you might as well just stop reading that paper.
Yeah. Like, dude, did you even read the other papers? Because you could have got a lot better information from them. It's wild. So. Anyway, that's terrible. You're welcome.
Thanks for starting my week out. Wonderful.
I know. Do we have any reviews?
We had another one.
Yeah.
This one said we was fantastic.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, 5 stars. CC_baby.
Ooh, CC baby.
gave us 5 stars and an awesome review. So thank you,
CC.
Send your information, and yeah. we will send a sticker.
Yeah, we have lots of stickers.
Nobody's sending their information.
No, they don't like our stickers. That's all right.
It's all good.
Someone will come along who loves our stickers.
I will take the 5 stars, no matter what.
Absolutely. You don't have to take a sticker if you don't want a sticker, man. So I wanted to talk about something because I had big hopes for doing such things like... current events in Missouri and stuff like that with this podcast, and I just have failed miserably. So but there's something to mention this week.
Is it gonna be especially happy stuff?
No, it's not. It's gonna be terrible.
Stop it.
You're about to get real pissed off.
Rude.
Yeah. So I don't know, I'm sure that you've heard by now about the Circle of Hope Girls Ranch.
Yeah.
So this is in southwestern Missouri. Where is it located? I don't remember where that was located. I looked it up, but I don't remember. So it's right around here somewhere. It's very close to us. Blah. And their names are Boyd and Stephanie Householder, and they're facing 102 charges.
Holy cow.
Yes. It's... child molestation, sodomy, sexual contact with a student, neglect of a child, abuse, endangering the welfare of a child. And all of this happened between 2017 and 2020 from what the report that I was reading. It's just disgusting. And these people, so they have this girls' boarding school. or it's girls' ranch and boarding school is what it is. And so they are, from what I understand, they're licensed, obviously, to operate this, but they are a religious organization, which means they don't have to do all of the same monitorings and all of that jazz that everybody else has to do. They don't get inspected and yeah, such. Mm-hmm. Because they're...
It doesn't matter if they're religious or not. They should still have to have check-ins, especially with kids
yeah.
being there.
And that's what, you know, like, we've been talking about it a lot. And this, I mean, I work for a children's residential facility, a crisis nursery. And so the things that we have to do to maintain our license, I mean, it's my job is to keep us licensed. And it, I mean, it's that much work that they have me who does all of the things to keep that going. I mean, other people help. That's what I'm saying is mm-hmm. it's enough to fill a full-time job and several pieces of other people's jobs. There's so much that goes into it. And I cannot believe why are they any different because they're religious? Does that a religious organization? Does that somehow mean they're like above it? Like they wouldn't do anything?
I have no clue.
Clearly not. Something needs to change here.
Mm-hmm. I was reading. I think it is in Cedar County.
I don't know where that is. I don't know counties. I know Greene County, Shannon County, and Lawrence County.
And that's just because you've been there.
Yeah. No, I know a few other counties, but very few.
It's, I think it's up around Stockton, El Dorado Springs, in that area. You're right. We went camping on Stockton Lake, remember?
Yeah.
It's right there.
That's terrible. So from what I understand, their daughter is the one who first started like screaming, hey, somebody mm-hmm. needs to do something.
Did she
here.
Reach Something's out for help? Though?
Yeah. And I think it happened on TikTok.
Really?
You know how many people have went to TikTok with things like this? I'm pretty sure that it was, I mean, it had something to do with TikTok. I remember seeing that. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. There were things like they kept the girls tied up with zip ties and handcuffs. Slammed two girls' heads against a wall, kept a girl in a room with no light or sound for an extended period of time, poured hot sauce into a girl's mouth.
Is this like a couple that's doing this, that runs the place? That's
yeah,
doing this,
or it's a husband this... and wife.
Okay. I didn't know if it was like people that worked for them or if it was staff.
No, it was them.
Wow.
They used duct tape and socks to prevent a girl from using her hands for several days.
Sick people.
Yeah.
And this has gone on for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't get how they get by with that for that long with this mm-hmm. many different people and girls. Cause
no.
I don't know.
I can't remember. There was something released about something that their attorney said about, oh my God, this douche. He said something about these girls are from troubled pasts and they're just really angry and they're trying to take it out on somebody and that's why they're saying all these things.
I don't care how angry and stuff. There's some of that stuff you just don't do to a person, no matter how angry they are.
Yeah, but he's saying they're lying because they're just like, you shouldn't believe them because of their past and stuff like that. Like, do you know what year it is, dude?
God.
Like, I can't believe you felt comfortable enough to say that. Anyway, so that's bullshit.
I'm glad you're just making my week awful.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, Cece, baby, for the review.
Yeah, for real. That's one thing that made me smile on this podcast today.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a bad week.
I'm just glad they got punished and caught.
Yeah.
Well, they're caught.
Me too. And hopefully this changes something. Like, no, you can't
like,
just
open
call
up the
your
gates.
Place. You can't just call your place religious
yeah.
and
be freed to
free
not
reign to
do
just
anything.
Abuse people. It's disgusting. Like, get it together, Missouri. change that. Truth. Change that now.
Is it a Missouri or is this a Cedar County thing?
It's Missouri.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Blech. It's terrible.
Anyway.
Anyway.
We're thinking about booking a vacation, I hear.
Yes. Yeah, let's talk about happy. Something fun. We're going to Nolens.
Where?
Nolens.
Reel it in.
I want to fit in when I get there, so I'm going to start talking like
no,
people.
No, you're a tourist. It's New Orleans. New Orleans?
Oh.
Which one?
Okay.
Which one is it?
It's Nolens, I said, but you won't listen to me.
Go Saints!
Can you imagine me trying to talk like them when I get down there?
Please don't. You'll get a shot.
Well, no, we had some friends that were from New Orleans, and like I would be like, can you just talk to me?
Like, just say something.
I love it. But I love accents of any kind.
I'm a big fan of accents.
I can't
as
think
well.
Of any that I don't like. None.
They just intrigue me. Yeah. I just stare at people when they talk with an accent. So we have a nurse at Mercy Springfield. She's not a nurse. She's like the registration. And I would love it if she's listening right now. But anyway, she's so sweet. And she's from, I think, I don't know where she's from. Uh-oh. I can't remember, but it's a different country. And she will talk to me. And I'll make sure I hunt her down when we take a patient there just so I can say hi and she talks to me because it's so fun.
That's fun.
Yeah. She went to Colorado and had a skiing accident, and
that's not fun.
She's got a knee brace on.
Oh my
gosh. Every time she sees me, she's like, a different brace, and then she would talk to me, blah blah. So I always check in on her.
Well, hopefully she's getting better.
Yeah, she is. She's so great though.
I know, I love it. And I saw a post on social media the other day, and listen, like we're pretty progressive people. But I saw something on social media the other day about being offended by somebody talking about their accent. And how, like, it's offensive to mention somebody's accent.
Is it?
I know. I'm don't take that from me. Like.
Why is that offensive?
I know. I understand. It's like pointing out a difference. You know.
It's
saying.
It's a cool difference.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Is like, it's a positive thing in most instances, you know.
It's not like would never make fun of somebody for their accent.
No.
I just love it.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry if I offended anyone.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think most people are offended by it, but some people apparently are. And I'm sorry if you're offended by something like that. But I love accents, and I won't stop saying, hey, you talk different than me.
Please keep talking.
Yeah, don't stop that, because I love it.
I wonder if we have anybody from New Orleans that listens to us.
Yeah, I think I've seen New Orleans.
I wonder if they will meet up with us when we go.
That'd be fun.
It would be. We're going into May sometime, maybe?
Mm-hmm. So that'll be so much fun. We have so many plans to go. And I really wanted to mention it also to tell everybody, if you have suggestions of things we need to do, something you've done down there that you would highly recommend, let us know.
For sure. We have a week to kill.
Yeah. And none of us have been there in years. I mean, you...
Have you ever been there?
I haven't, but you and Dad both have.
I didn't know your dad had.
Yeah. On his senior trip in 1926. Shit, he's going to hear that.
1908 is sometimes what I was going to say.
Sometimes I forget that he can hear. I mean, that he listens.
He'll listen tonight, probably.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, God.
He'll be like, oh, really? Okay.
He's going to point it out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think sorry, it was like, Dad, you're young.
2009 when I went.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. None of us have been
in years. I hope things are opening back up.
I'm hoping. We're fully vaccinated, so we're like ready to live our best life.
I know. I don't know if the world's ready for us.
And those of you who are wanting to go live your best life and take vacations, you better friggin' book them now, because everybody is coming out of their cave and places are booking up fast. So... Yeah. Just a little word of the wise. If you want to go on vacation, you better book that shit now, because people are not waiting.
That's true. Another trip we would like to take that you mentioned is Portland.
I want to go to Portland so bad. I want to live in Portland, though.
We've never been there. How do you know you want to live there?
Because it's so weird.
I mean, valid, but you've got to go somewhere first before you want to live there.
I don't know.
Shasta would love us for to come there. Yeah. He's a high school friend of ours. And
yeah. She's in Seattle. So, we definitely have to go visit Portland because, oh my God, I'm obsessed with it. I've never even been there. It's stupid.
That's weird that you're obsessed with somewhere you've never been.
I know. I think I may have lived there before.
Oh God, here we go.
Okay, well, I guess we're done taking up your time for the week.
At least it ended in a positive, talking about vacations.
That's right. So we shall talk to you later. What do you think about doing a live next week? We might talk about that.
You haven't changed the calendar since January.
Eyes on me. Oh, we're talking about a live.
Well, it says live up there, and I thought you had it on a date, but it is on our last one over... Roland T. Owen.
Yeah. So, if you have suggestions about a live, let us know.
Oh, you don't have any suggestions?
I don't. I mean, I thought about watching some, like, viral paranormal videos and talking about them, because that'd be fun. Ooh, a cocktail party.
I'm down.
Let's make drinks. That'll be fun.
That would be fun.
Okay, we'll do Show Me Scares cocktail party next.
Cocktail time.
And watch scary videos and just chat.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I hope people's down for that.
Me too.
Fun.
All right, folks. Have a fantastic week. Stay safe. Stay healthy. I'm sorry we ruined your week from the beginning. We love you so, so much. And we will see you at the live this weekend.
Sounds good.
Bye.
Bye.